El Pacifico, Bill Hendricks.
You know. All right, welcome back here to World Famous Phil Hendricks Show. You know, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry I have to stop down and say these things, but, you know, there comes a time when someone is trying to get your attention, and they think I don't know whether this guy, I don't know who he thinks he's dealing with. I mean, I'm not the kind of guy who is going to sit still while someone attempts to destroy his business or destroy his life because I didn't hire this guy. Apparently, I got an email from this iPokesmot, this guy with this bird picture, saying that I should have hired him, right? This is like something out of, this reminds me of the guy that assassinated James Garfield, you know? You know who that guy was? He was psycho because he thought that Garfield had offered him a job and then reneged on the promise. I mean, the guy was like imagining things. Well, who knows? This clown may be the same way, but I suspect this guy's one of those low-level sociopaths that is a powerless little turd in the world that he's in. And what he does for his laughs is he goes out and I wouldn't even be bothering you guys with this were it not for the fact that this involves my own personal information, members of my family, the safety of my family. Like I said, for me, 40 years in this business, 40 plus years in this business, all kinds of death threats. I've had it all, man. I've had it all. I've seen it all. But now what this individual has done in concert with this woman that I dumped, and thank God, has decided that it's funny to put my personal information out on Twitter, and he's going to be famous like that Violent Acres guy. You remember that Violent Acres guy? This guy who was internet's most, you know, evil troll or whatever that was. That guy got outed because just enough people disliked him. Just enough people hated that Violent Acres guy that his name got out there and got into the hands of a journalist. Well, the same thing's going to happen to this guy. And if I wind up dead, which is what he's trying to do, dude, you better leave the country. And that probably won't help. See, it's not that Phil Hendry's a big star. That's got nothing to do with it. It's that I'm a public personality of some notoriety. And police tend to work those cases pretty hard when someone like me winds up dead in his own house. You understand? So whether I'm famous, not, this, that, whatever you want to call it, a cop's going to go, I guess we better work this one because the public is now paying attention to this. Which means you, Mr. iPokesmot, your ass is in a world of hurt. Because now I'm making you all kinds of famous. Everybody knows who you are now. You're the guy on Twitter that put my personal information out there. You got your little bird head. And I know in your world, you are, you think you're a star. Well, you know what, brother? You're a star now. You better go underground or something. Although, the kind of guy that you are, you don't know how to shut up. Guys like you don't know how to shut up. You just keep on talking and keep on talking until you push the issue. Now you've pushed the issue all the way to the front page here with me. You guys never know when to shut up. You want a reaction? You got a reaction. Now, every cop listening, anybody that works for Twitter, anybody that works for Facebook, anyone that works for the phone company, because this guy calls my show every single solitary night, trying to harass us. You can ask my engineer, Dan Northcraft. He uses Skype so that we can't block the call. He's got YouTube accounts. He's got Facebook accounts. He's got MySpace accounts. He's got an internet footprint that is enormous. And his name, like all of those trolls, his name is the name that he uses, iPokesmot, you know, because those trolls, they all have their little handles because they all want to be famous. People say, well, why are you making him more famous? Because the guy is trying to have me killed. That's why. Because this guy will not be happy until I'm dead. And most likely I am. But if a member of my family, if my daughter or someone is here and is killed along with me, that I cannot allow to have happen. So whether it does or not, I don't know. It's probably out of my hands now, but I'm just letting everybody know. When I turn up dead, you will know who to go and look for. You people at Twitter, you people at Facebook, all you members of law enforcement, where it's not difficult at all to find out who somebody is. There's no anonymity with cops. You'll now know. Hell, like I said, you could start doing the homework right now if you want. This guy, every single night that I'm trying to do my show, is trying to disrupt me making a living. And why is this? Because I didn't hire him as an engineer, or I didn't laugh at some joke, or I didn't pay enough attention to him because his daddy and his mommy ignored him, so he uses me as a surrogate father. Who knows what's wrong with these people? I suspect it's something to do with respect, though. That's what it is. You know, he got disrespected by me. Well, with good reason. With good reason. There's a reason why I didn't hire the guy. He's a little duplicitous, backstabbing turd. No wonder I didn't hire you, man. Good call on my part. Putting you to work for me? You little lion sack. I'll tell you what. You know, I mean, there's only one thing that helps you out, man. It was that little nice layer of anonymity that you've created for yourself, which is about to go. And now he's, you know, I know when this guy calls because I talk and he calls. And then, you know, and I don't give the number out, but he calls, you know. So you just remember this guy's name, I poke smot, and whether it's you or not, man, it may not even be you. Guess what? You, like the man said, you may not have done it. You got it. You are getting all the credit for it. Anyway.
David Hall's going to want to call up.
David Hall can call up all he wants. I don't care.
Well, he's going to want to know what this is about, Phil, because you're going on and on about this. And what is this name? I don't understand.
Don't worry about it, okay?
Yeah, I'll tell you. If he called up on there.
Well, I'm just, you know, I'm using my offices, if you'll pardon me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm being selfish. I'm using my offices as a talk show host. This is an education. This lets you know, what my world is all about, okay? This lets you know that behind the scenes, you know, these little things happen. This guy, there's another guy that was on my comment section on my website, Hutch. This was another guy. He was sending emails about this, that. And I finally said to the guy, because he made the mistake of saying to me, don't piss me off. I said, well, now you made a mistake. I said, all of your emails are going to my attorney. I don't even read them now. And your ass is famous now with my lawyers, okay? So if anything happens to me, you're the first guy they go looking for. See, people bank on this. They think that I'm so worried about my own personal safety that I won't say anything. Are you kidding? I learned a long time ago in the radio business, being a public personality, my ass is up for grabs every single day of my life. You think that worries me? Don't worry me. My ass is up for grabs. It has been ever since I sat down and opened up a microphone and started yakking all the stuff that I yak. I do a comedy show. It doesn't make any difference. There's some freaking sick bastards out there. They're going to hide in the weeds, and they're going to do what they're going to do. I'm just letting you know right now who it is that when they do find me face down in a freaking pool of water someplace, I'm letting you know who it was that did it. Now, this guy believes he's smarter than everybody else. He thinks that he is absolutely sacrosanct. I do know that he's got his little studio, and he plays all of his little sound effects, and he's got a radio studio of some kind. I think he probably imagines that he's a radio artist of some kind. I think he probably imagines that he's an engineer of some kind. He's got some asinine YouTube account where he crows about the fact that he edited a Howard Stern tape once. I mean, the guy is pathetic, you know, and obviously I didn't hire him because he's got no skill at all. So he's angry, and I'm angrier. I'm more pissed off than him. I'm more pissed off than Poke Smot. So you could say that I'm pissed off, and he's Poke Smot, I'm pissed off Smot.
You're pissed off S'more.
Pissed off S'more, thank you. If you'll pardon, that's a dessert, I know.
S'mores are a dessert.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back with, now we'll continue the entertainment, although this was pretty entertaining, I think.
A lot of people are calling in and saying they really like it when you get angry and talk about how you're going to wind up face down in a pool of water.
Great. All right, so we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry Show. All All right, world famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and here we go. And we're online at philhendryshow.com, and with a backstage pass, you have access to thousands of hours of our radio show as well as our video cast. And tomorrow's podcast ought to be a big download because we're making somebody famous. You know, I think I will remind everybody every day of who the guy is that eventually got me killed. And probably within a short order, we're going to find out who he is, what his name is, where he works, what he does. You know, I should have hired you, huh? You know what? The reason why I didn't hire you, man, is because you ain't got any talent for anything other than sitting at home on a Friday night and bothering me. Can you believe this guy is what he is? All right. Many fans are eagerly anticipating a return to the fictional world of Middle-earth with next week's general release of the first movie in the Hobbit trilogy. Now, director Peter Jackson and the film stars speak to the Associated Press about making The Hobbit an unexpected journey. So this is an interview that that Peter Jackson did with the press on this movie, The Hobbit.
Now, The Hobbit is something that you read in high school, is that right?
The Hobbit was huge when I was in high school. All of the Lord of the Rings books were huge when I was in high school, which was the late 60s.
Yeah, on account of... Because of the, I don't want to say LSD, but it was psychedelic.
Wasn't psychedelic, man. Yeah, but yeah, I wouldn't say it was psychedelic, but it was a, it played into the whole hippy-dippy thing, you know.
Well, in a lot of ways, hobbits were a sort of hippie in their own way.
Yeah, would you say that?
Would I say hobbits were hippies in their own way? Yeah, I would say that the hobbits were probably the hippies. No, I think hobbits were not hippies. Hobbits were the middle class. The hobbits were the normal people of Middle-earth. They were like the average people. They were like the people who watch. In our world, they would be the people that just get up in the morning, go to work, come home, have their dinner with their family, and just kind of live their life and, you know, go to the park and do normal things that are healthy. The hobbit, that's what the hobbit was in Middle-earth.
You call what the Hobbit was in Middle-earth normal. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Margaret, it's all relative.
Well, but I'm making the point. Hobbits were hippies, weren't they?
What do you mean by hippies?
They were sitting around smoking their pipes. I'm not saying they did drugs. I'm saying that they had hippie values.
Yeah, they were peacenicks.
I don't think hobbits were peacenicks, no.
What do you mean?
Because the hobbits had swords. They had little swords. They had ways of... What's his name? Bilbo Baggins? Didn't he have a sword?
Who?
Bilbo Baggins is the guy that was the main guy in The Hobbit.
No, that's Frodo. Frodo Baggins.
Well, you're going to get angry again. I told you that the French pronunciation...
Oh, Margaret, you're not going to tell me that it's Bilbo Baggins or any of that jazz, okay?
No, I was not going... Do you love him? Mark, you're not going to tell me. I was going to say it's Baggins, it's Bilbo, or Bibo.
Oh, will you get out of here? What do you mean the French?
There's no French. There's no Middle Earth in France.
Oh, there's no Middle Earth in France, so they don't read the Middle Earth books.
No, what he's saying is, there's what he was saying.
Wait. You have to interpret what he's saying?
No, but there's no France in Middle Earth.
There's no France in, but what does that mean?
Meaning, if you lived in Middle Earth, how would they know what the French pronunciation is?
Oh, my God, you really are off the beaten course, aren't you? I'm talking about how we say it here.
Margaret, I have never heard any pronunciation of Bilbo Baggins that's Bilbo or Bilbo.
Well, you heard it now, okay? In any event, the point that I'm making, were they not a sort of a hippie sensibility? Were the hobbits, or, and I guess you'll laugh, the hobbit. You know what? I'm good.
Yeah, go to the toilet.
I'm going to use the bathroom for a very short period of time, but I'll be back. Believe me when I tell you I'll be back. You will long rue the day.
All right, fine, Margaret. Go to the bath. The Hobbit.
Oh, man, I mean, she's the one. You hired her.
Well, look, I don't know what it is, okay? All I'm telling you is that the... And I don't know whether the Hobbit is the hippie of Middle Earth or not. I could swear to God, man, and when I read The Hobbit, and I read it, as I say, in high school a long time ago, what was a high school student doing reading The Hobbit? Well, what are adults doing reading Harry Potter? So... yeah, we read it, and most likely we did read it because it had kind of that whack sensibility. I mean, if you go back to the culture of when I was in high school, what was going on, there was a lot of that, I don't know, what the hell is the whole, you know, these folk music was big.
What's that got to do with it?
Well, folk music, the kind of Fairport Convention, and these groups were coming out of England that were all about fairies and...
What?
Well, I don't know, man. Yes, bands like that. Everything was sort of like curled up elf shoes, you know.
All right, I'm back. I had to come out of the bathroom for this one.
You got toilet paper hanging out of your skirt.
Where? No, you dirty...
Hey.
Tell him not to do that. What do you mean? First of all, I was around back then because I was obviously a college student. The curled up elf shoe. Let's talk about that.
No, we're not going to talk about anything like that, okay? We're going to just keep pushing forward here because I don't want to get into a whole discussion of whether The Hobbit is a movie about Middle Earth hippies. I just don't want to do it. I can tell you this much, that the hobbits that I read about in that book had... would you say that they were pacifists? No, they weren't. The hobbits actually got involved in some violent stuff. Didn't they go out and kick ass in those trilogy books?
Yeah, they did, man. They kicked ass on some of them.
Sure they did. Frodo, all those guys.
Well, what do you mean, kicked ass?
Don't you remember in that movie, if you didn't read the books, don't you remember when they were riding into the war?
Well, I remember a couple of the hobbits on horseback with an elf. But that was Sam Gangagi, or what was his name? Sam Ganges.
Yeah, Sam Gamgee.
Who?
Dude, the guy's name is Sam Gamgee.
Sam Gamgee, who the...
Oh, my God, you almost said the F word.
Never mind. What about Sam Gamgee?
He was riding into war on the horseback of an elven woman, but he wasn't going to war. He simply wanted to sit behind her because...
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Because why? Because he was...
Well, you were going to say it, not me.
What was I going to say?
Get his mouth.
What?
I'm not going to say it, Phil.
Okay, we're going to grow up, whether I've got to put a gun into my mouth and threaten to kill myself, we're going to grow up here.
Was he not sitting, you were about to say, because he wanted to kiss her.
What?
He said get his rocks off.
You filthy mouth.
Hey. That's what you said.
That's what you said. I didn't, you said it, Phil.
I believe that the Hobbit is capable of martial activity, meaning pugilism or some form of warfare, whether it be with a weapon or his fists. I believe the Hobbit is capable of violence. Is that what you're asking me?
Yes, but I'm asking you to prove it. And just because Sam Gangie or
Sam Gangrene.
It's not Sam Gangrene. What is wrong with you?
Well, what's wrong with you? Who cares what his name is? He's sitting on a horse with an elf and what?
He sat behind the elven queen because he was getting...
Oh, you are sick.
I'm sick.
Yes. He was riding into battle like the other hobbits were. They were all going to be a part of the big war against the evil things that was happening there, or were happening there, was happening there, might have been happening there in Middle Oit. And they destroyed all the evil crap, and now Middle Earth is a beautiful thing. I don't know. Many fans are eagerly...
Wait a minute. Hold on.
Don't pull that out of my hand.
I want you to pay attention to me. What was the name... Hold on. What was the name of the elf, or whatever it's... What's it called?
Hobbit.
Of the Hobbit. I won't say Hobbit.
Thank you.
And by the way, that is a distinctly Middle Eastern... pronunciation, Hobbit. You know, he looks... Never mind.
Yeah, that's right, Margaret. Do I think you're nuts? Yes, I do.
That's such an insult.
Well, when you're sitting there giving me the Middle Eastern pronunciation of the Hobbit and it's the Hobbit, we got some serious, serious problems. Many fans are eagerly anticipating a return to the fictional world of Middle-earth with next week's general release of the first movie in The Hobbit Trilogy. Director Peter Jackson and the film stars speak to the Associated Press about making The Hobbit an unexpected journey.
You're breaking.
I don't care. I'm going to keep on talking even through the break because we're way behind. Jackson on shooting at...
You're going to go in a commercial.
Never mind. Jackson on shooting at 48 frames per second instead of the standard 24. Gee, that's an interesting question. Not. We've seen the arrival of iPhones and iPads, and now there's a generation of kids. The worry that I have is that they seem to think it's okay to wait for the film to come out on DVD or be available for download, and I don't want kids to see The Hobbit on their iPads, really. Not for the first time, so as a filmmaker, I feel the responsibility to say this is the technology we have now, and it's different. How can we raise the bar? Why do we have
Phil
to stick to 24 frames? All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So you get all that?
No, I didn't get all of that. You're talking about...
Talk about... You talked about Bilbo.
I'm not talking now about Bilbo. I'm talking about the other one. Is that the I don't know what his name is.
What? Frodo?
Yes, Frodo.
Frodo is Frodo. Frodo is a guy that was the nephew of Bilbo.
I'm talking about him.
All right. What difference does it make?
Well, you said it was Frodo.
No, I didn't say it was Frodo. I said it was Bilbo, and you said Bilbo. I said The Hobbit, and you said Hobbit.
Yes, but the pronunciation...
You talk about Frodo.
Will you get out of here with Frodo, man? I'm telling you right now. These people with the French pronunciation... Margaret, you're just the tip of the iceberg, okay? My mother used to do that.
Your mother, I think, was a saint... to put up with you.
You know what, Margaret? It doesn't take much. All I got to do is point to the door and you're gone.
You do that. You know, I'm the only one that...
Why'd you shut up about Frodo?
Why, you lousy stupid...
Hey. No more of that, okay? All right. World War II vet's grandson. This is the story I wanted to do, Robert.
Yeah, I thought this was very interesting about the Japanese war memento. Original owner of blood-smeared good luck flag remains a mystery.
All right, well, Captain James Bailey spent, you know... Do you know what a kamikaze is, bud?
Well...
He thinks it's a drink.
You think it's a drink?
Well, yeah, but I know it's not just a drink.
A kamikaze was a pilot in World War II the Japanese had that was a desperation act. It was a desperation act by the Japanese to send pilots to their death. These were suicide...
Suicide bombs?
No, they weren't bombs.
Margaret, let me do it, okay?
Fine, God.
These were suicide missions, okay? Suicide missions. And the suicide missions were Japan's way of trying a desperation act of sinking our fleet as we were approaching Okinawa. We were going to sink Okinawa, or we were going to sink the Japanese, and we were going to invade Okinawa. They were flying their, suicide bombers to try to sink our ships. Now, these guys would go into battle with these scarves tied around their heads. And the scarves that were tied around their heads represented their status as kamikaze pilots.
They're going to die.
They were going to die, exactly. Now, there's a very interesting interview with Rod Steiger, as I'm mentioning. He's an actor that I grew up really admiring. I loved Rod Steiger. During the war, Rod Steiger was a young sailor in World War II, and he was aboard a ship that was hit by a kamikaze. And Steiger, in this interview he did for the Screen Actors Guild, is a series that I think, it's either AF, no, it's the American Film Institute, I think, has this series of interviews with a lot of different actors. They're really fascinating. And in this interview, he says, I remember going below with my shipmates because this Japanese kamikaze plane smashed into the ship and obviously crashed through a couple of decks and came to rest somewhere in the interior of the ship. We all went below, and we found the aircraft, and it was not in one piece, but the fuselage and the cockpit where the pilot sat was in relative, it was in a relative state of it was in a good state, you know.
It wasn't damaged.
Wasn't damaged. And there was the pilot. There was the kamikaze pilot dead. And they carried his body out of there. They picked his body up and brought him out and, you know, laid him out in the, wherever the hell it was, the infirmary or something, the place where they could just lay a dead body out. And it was a moment for him and these other young men that obviously he didn't forget to see this incredible scene of this aircraft that intentionally crashed into your ship. There's the young pilot, no older than you. He's wearing this kamikaze headband that has the rising sun. It's not the rising sun, but it's the Japanese sun in the middle.
What's the rising sun?
The rising sun was the sun flag that had the beams of light coming from it. That was the Army's flag. That was the military flag. Okay. The regular rising sun, the Japanese national flag, is just that red ball.
The red ball?
Yeah. Like the red ball jet?
The red ball jets.
Well, those were the sneakers.
Yeah.
What's that got to do with anything?
That's what they... Is that what they did?
They made those in Japan. Well, Phil, if we're wrong, we're wrong. All you have to do is say it.
What do you get the red ball jets from, the Japanese national flag? That's a sneaker.
I know that.
Anyway, folks. So, here is a story that's interesting. The red ball jets.
That's what I thought.
Right. Captain James Bailey spent much of 1944 above the Pacific in the nose of a B-24 Liberator dropping bombs on the Japanese enemy. During his service, the bombardier traded two packs of Lucky Strikes for a war memento, a silky Japanese flag smeared in blood, covered in handwritten foreign characters. He kept the flag in storage in his Park Ridge home for decades, eventually leaving it to his grandson, Scott Bailey. It was a mere World War II token to the veteran who, like many of his generation, never quite released his animosity toward a nation whose bombs pummeled Pearl Harbor 71 years ago tomorrow. In fact, today in many of our time zones.
But what is?
Today is the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. But...
No, today's the 6th.
It's the 7th on the East Coast.
Okay, well, good for them, but it's... Sorry.
Good for them. But the flag would stir so many questions in his grandson. Whose blood stained the fabric? Where did it come from? And what message did the characters convey? So he enlisted in the Air Force to follow his grandfather's path, his first overseas assignment taking him and his grandfather's flag to Yokota Air Base near Tokyo. Now Tech Sergeant Scott Bailey is trying to solve the mystery of the flag and perhaps return it to its original owner's next of kin. It just needs to be returned, Bailey said. It belongs in Japan. This is something, by the way, that a lot of veterans and their offspring are doing now. They're returning these things. In the case of the kamikaze headband I was talking about, I don't know whether it's Steiger shipmates or this is a different incidence, but these kamikaze headbands, where they could find the family members of these suicide pilots, they did.
Why? They're the guy. That's the enemy. Yeah, how come they give it back on the enemy?
Because it's 70-some years, man. I mean, you know, Japan is now a friend of ours. And, you know, bygones be bygones. And let's,
Yeah, but they dropped an A-bomb and everything, or...
We dropped the A-bomb, you idiot.
No, that's not my information.
Oh, is that your information?
Oh, my God.
Okay, what are you saying, we did?
Yes, we did!
Well, then what did they do at Pearl Harbor?
They bombed us with regular bombs. We dropped the A-bomb.
Don't you know, you idiot, man? We dropped two A-bombs. Well, still.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that's war, okay? So they dropped an A-bomb on Pearl Harbor. Anyway, so now is this young man, Scott Bailey, he's looking to return this flag. On Sunday, December 7th, James Bailey and his future wife, Virginia McFadden, took a drive from their hometown of Cleveland to visit a friend in Toledo. The couple arrived after the long road trip, surprised to find everyone huddled around the radio, shocked and afraid. Their world would never be the same. We've witnessed this morning the new distant view, a brief full battle of Pearl Harbor and the severe bombing of Pearl Harbor by enemy planes. Undoubtedly, Japanese reported one of the many newscasts. The 20-year-old wasn't even sure what Pearl Harbor was, but he'd experienced the devastation firsthand 2 years later as Lieutenant Bailey stationed at Hickam Field near Honolulu. He said, I could still see all the damage. He went on to serve 42 missions. He became an expert at one of the military's most closely guarded secrets, the Norden bomb site, a revolutionary device that allowed us to pick up a target, put in data on wind, air pressure, bomb size, and the like, and then establish the precise dropping point. The technology was so classified that he had to swear an oath that he would choose death over giving up the bomb site to the enemy.
What?
It was a big top secret bomb site. His last mission nearly cost him his life. Blasting airstrips on the island of Cebu in the Philippines, flak was coming up and one shell burst just outside the nose of my plane. A fragment grazed the sleeve of my jacket. His relatives still have that jacket. He raised his family. He lived 4 decades in Park Ridge. Like many Americans who fought and lived in World War II, he held a grudge against the Japanese and refused to buy products made there, especially cars. He died in 2007. Family members say he didn't talk much about the Japanese flag he brought home or its history. He set it aside for his grandson. Scott Bailey arrived in Tokyo in 2004. He found no trace of the imperial anti-American nation of his grandfather's time. He's an aircraft crew chief fixing planes that help one of America's closest allies, in fact, rescuing Japanese citizens from natural catastrophes, transporting replacement parts to the Fukushima nuclear power plant, and other duties. And so anyway, is that the only page we have?
So far, yeah. I didn't think you'd get to the end.
Well, I've gotten to the end, okay?
Yeah, I only printed up 2 pages. You need the other one?
Yes, I need the other one. What is it with you guys?
Phil, don't get all bent out of shape. We thought that you'd come to the commercial break, and yes, we're right, bud, you're right.
Good timing.
I'd make it 44 on the nose. So now we'll print the 3rd page.
Wait a minute, wait just a second. You print up all the pages of the story and give them to me, and I'll read them when I want to read them.
Well, it's a waste of paper.
Yeah, you're killing trees.
We'll kill the trees. Don't worry, now I gotta wait. All right, we'll be right back with page 3 of the story when we come back here. The world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And by the way, online at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And remember that you can pick up a backstage pass at our website. That is a subscription to our website. And with your one-month subscription, you will get a free CD best-of download. With a six-month subscription, you will get 3 free CD downloads. And with your one-year subscription, you'll get 5 free CD downloads.
What are you doing?
What I did was I password protected my cell phone because that's what they said you got to do.
What, when you were downloading something?
There was a huge download. It was a big backup.
Oh, you talking about a cloud backup? They're backing up the data?
Yeah. So I password protected it, but every time I want to use it, I got to enter in the password.
Yeah, you should have it one a longer time.
Yes, you need to allow the password to only be required after like 5 minutes.
No. I made it for a minute.
A minute? Well, then you're going to be using your password every...
Every minute?
Yes.
That's good enough. All right. Europe's largest minority, the Romani, migrated from northwest India 1,500 years ago. What are the Romani?
They come from Rome.
No, they do not come from Rome. No.
The Romani?
Yes.
Or the Romani?
Sure.
What is sure? I don't understand the sure.
Margaret, if I got to deal with the French pronunciation one more time.
The Romani are gypsies, correct?
Yes, gypsies.
That ain't then why they call Roman.
They're not called Roman, they're called Romani.
Ah.
I mean Romani. You know, just let me read this. The Romani, also known as the Roma.
That reminds me of the song, Phil. You've got to let me do that.
Can I finish this story here?
Well, hold on. Do you remember the song? Arrivederci, Roma. Goodbye, goodbye, Roma. Isn't that amazing how I can hold that note?
You didn't hold any note.
Yeah, you didn't hold a note.
I most certainly did. Do you have ears, or are those just... What are those on the side of your head?
They're called ears. You didn't hold that note.
Yeah, you went all like...
No, I did... I did not go all...
Yes, you did. You went arrivederci, Roma.
Will you... I'm talking about holding a note. Listen.
Then can I read this?
You can read that in a moment, Phil. You can read all about your Romani in a moment. It goes like, I'm holding the note. This is breath control. This is diaphragm control. Sue Selvidge, oh, I don't have an accompanist.
No, you don't.
Sorry. 1, 2, a 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 2, 2, 2, 6. Arrivederci, Roma. All right, now hold on.
God.
You don't think that's holding a note. What did you hear?
I heard someone running out of air.
Yeah, me too.
If the two of you start laughing, I'm going to get violent. Now, that's a promise. All right? That's not a threat. It's a promise.
I'm not laughing. I'm asking, is that what you call holding a note?
That is called holding a note, yes. If you're a professional, you don't do this. Arrivederci, Roma. You don't do that. You hold that note. I was taught by my voice coach, even if you lose the tone and you lose the tonality. You understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
Did you ever take voice?
No, I did not.
Well, there you go.
But I can tell you this, Margaret. I know that holding a note has to do with holding the note and not just exhaling until you wheeze.
Yeah, it sounded to me like you were wheezing.
No, I was not wheezing so much as... Listen to it again.
Margaret, here's what you're doing. You're going, Arrivederci, Roma.
Could you allow me to do it, please?
No, you were going like, am I right or am I wrong?
No, Phil's right. You're going,
I did not. I held the note even after I'd lost the oxygen in order to professionally sustain the other singers. Listen. Arrivederci, Roma.
You're turning purple.
Would you shut up? You blew it.
No, I didn't blow it, and you were turning purple.
But when did you do that?
I'm holding... What if the other singers are still holding the note? What if the other singers are going, Roma, what am I supposed to do?
Take a breath?
No!
So if the other singers are still holding the note, then you've got to just go...
You know, that's not what I was doing. I was doing this. Arrivederci, Roma. See, I'm not just going... I would be... Here, I'll show you what I'm... Arrivederci, Roma. See, I can go anywhere I want because I have breath control. But instead, to support the other singers, I'm going, Arrivederci, Roma. Well, I forget the note, but...
You forget the note? Arrivederci, Roma. There's the note.
Oh, well, thank you, Robert Merrill.
Who's Robert Merrill?
He was one of the finest opera singers.
Well, Margaret, I'm just... Arrivederci, Roma.
No. No, it isn't Arrivederci. Never mind. Why do I waste my time with you jackballs? I don't...
Well, if you're telling me that holding a note is going... How did we get on this?
You were talking about Roma. I wasn't.
We were talking about the Roma people, not the city.
That's what I thought you'd talk about, the city.
No, this has got nothing to do with Rome. Would you listen to me, bud? This is a name that was given to the gypsy people, the Romani people. They are from India. They migrated from India. 1,500 years ago, this new genetic study has found. See, this is why it's fascinating. This is why I love the mitochondrial DNA studies. The Romani, also known as the Roma, were originally dubbed gypsies in the 16th century because this widely dispersed group of people were first thought to have come from Egypt. That's how dopey they were in Europe in the 16th century. Today, many consider gypsy to be a derogatory term.
Yeah, it probably is. Are you kidding me? Everything now is derogatory. Indian, gypsy. I understand about how not to call black people.
Yeah, you just remember that, man.
All right, I understand that. But God, what about everybody else? I can't even call a guy a gypsy.
It is derogatory, bud. What if we called you gloidal? Or gloid-like.
then you'd be an ass.
All right, bud, watch your language.
It's called me glottal.
Yeah, and you watch your language, okay?
I was sitting here trying arrivederci.
Why'd you do that in the corner or something, man? It's starting to make my ears hurt.
Oh, it's making your ears... And I'm not a man, either. Don't say to me, man. How dare you?
All right, lady, would you please do that in the corner?
Do what?
That whole arrivederci, Roma.
I'm trying to show Phil...
Margaret, you're not showing me anything. You're bugging me. Stop it.
No culture, no training.
Just stop it.
Arrivederci. Just one more time. Arrivederci, Roma. I'm trying to find the note. Would you... Hold on. Arrivederci, Roma. I can't find the note.
What kind of a professional singer are you that you can't find that note?
Who do you think you're talking to?
Margaret, I don't mean any disrespect. Arrivederci, Roma. There, I found the note.
Well, you found the note, Phil, because you're singing it like you're standing with a mug of beer in between a bunch of stevedores, sweating like hogs in some place that sells potato salad and breaded ham.
Meaning some low-rent bar?
No, a British pub.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. I'd like to be in a British pub right now, believe me. Arrivederci.
Arrivederci, Roma.
Phil Hendry.
That sucked.